You are listening to the Sunnybrook Community Church podcast. To learn more about Sunnybrook Church, including our Sunday gathering times and opportunities throughout the week, visit us online at sunnybrookchurch.org. Today's talk comes from Pastor Jeff Mose.
We're in the middle of a series on mental health. And today we come to the issue of depression. Now, when I arrived here some 20 years ago, I met a young man who struggled with depression. Just for the sake of the moment, since he's moved away from here, let's just give him a name called Bill. Bill had struggled his entire life with depression, but you'd never know it on the outside. If you ever met Bill, he was sort of this upbeat, uplifting, encouraging person. Everybody wanted to be around him. They had no idea that it was very likely that morning he struggled to get out of bed, as he did almost every single morning and sometimes didn't make it. On the outside, he looked as if he had it all together, but on the inside, he had crippling, debilitating depression. And he struggled almost on a daily basis with suicidal thoughts. Now, for somebody like me that has never struggled with depression in their life, it's pretty easy to take a look at a Bill and say, listen, come on, Bill. Pull yourself up from your bootstraps. Put a smile on your face. Get a little bit better, will you? I mean, nothing can be that down, can it? But if you would ask Bill, he'd say, in effect, listen, it's not just sadness, it's darkness that follows me everywhere I go. There's sort of a numbness to life for me. And then he'd often say, for some reason, the Church of Jesus Christ just doesn't seem to be all that helpful. Most people feel as though I just haven't arrived spiritually, and if I just had a little bit more Jesus, maybe I could sort of snap out of this depression, if you will. And for him, he would say, often coming around the church was a very lonely place, a place he'd be pushed away from until eventually he came to a place of aloneness by himself, the very thing that he didn't need. Think about it for a moment. If somebody in your small group has a sore throat, we say, listen, you better go see a doctor. It's very possible you need some sort of a prescription to get over this. If somebody in your small group broke a bone, we'd say, see an orthopedic. It's possible you need surgery. You're certainly going to need those bones to be set. But if somebody in your small group says to you, listen, I struggle with depression, we'd say, hey, put a smile on your face and keep it to yourself, will you? Today, I want to take a look at a portion of Scripture found in the Proverbs. It's sort of this overarching theme that I want to use. It comes from Proverbs chapter 12, and it's both a Scripture those of you who struggle with depression are going to love and you're going to hate. It says this, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. We'd say, boy, that is so true. But look at the second line. But a good word makes it glad. Now, for those of you who struggle with depression, you'd say, I wished it was that simple, Jeff. It's not just a good word that somehow helps me get out of that. But here's what I'd say to you. This is the word of God. This is the infallible, inerrant word of God. So there's got to be some sort of truth inside of it. And in case you don't struggle with depression today, don't think of yourself as more spiritual than anybody else, because there's no discrimination with regards to depression. It can hit at any moment and at any time. Now, I want to start by taking a look at sort of the root causes of depression. Here's what most experts would say causes depression in people's lives. First of all, there are some biological factors. In other words, it may have nothing to do with you or any trauma you've gone through in your life, something that happened in your past. It's very likely that it's biological in nature, meaning there is some sort of imbalance inside of your body. There's some sort of imbalance inside of your brain. Maybe you've gone through having a baby and you're struggling with postpartum because there is a hormonal change in your body that is yet to be balanced. Maybe for some of you, you're not eating proper nutrition. Maybe you're not getting enough sleep. Maybe you're not exercising enough. Maybe you're not getting enough sunlight. But there are certainly biological reasons to depression in people's lives. The second cause experts say is what they call relational depression. In other words, maybe there's a relationship in your life that's not going well. Maybe you have a son or a daughter that is wayward and it's just sort of weighing down your entire life. You're worried, you're concerned about them. Maybe you've gone through a divorce or maybe you're separated and maybe there's been a rejection in your life and you have relational depression. When we went through COVID and many of us were isolated, we missed relationship with other people. It caused in many people sort of a relational depression, if you will. The third root cause is circumstantial. In other words, maybe you lost a loved one. And you would give anything to have one more conversation with them. Maybe you've struggled with your finances. You did everything you can, but eventually you had to declare bankruptcy. Maybe you retired and you thought it'd be wonderful, but now you wake up every single day and you wonder, do I have any meaning? Do I have any purpose to life? And you're struggling with depression. The last reason is what I'd call a spiritual cause. You know this, don't you? That our struggle is not with flesh and blood. Our struggle is principalities and powers, authorities that come from this dark world. You recognize, don't you, that the evil one desires to kill and steal and destroy. And what he wants to destroy any more than anything else is something that is near and dear to the heart of God. Do you know what's the nearest and dearest to the heart of God? You are. And what I want you to see today as we look at this subject together, I want you to see the struggle we have with regards to depression and how you and I can begin to climb our way out. Now, I want to remind you, as I've done in every sermon so far, I am not a medical doctor. I'm not a trained psychiatrist. I'm not even a good counselor. I'm just simply a pastor who wants to take a look at the spiritual aspect and try to apply God's word to this subject. And I want to take a look at a portion of scripture today that comes from Lamentations chapter 3. It was written by a prophet of God by the name of Jeremiah. You know what a prophet was, don't you? A prophet was nothing more than a spokesperson for God. In other words, the prophet would listen to God and God would speak to him and then he would speak to the people. His name was Jeremiah. He wrote the book of Lamentations known as the Lament. Now, in order to understand in Lamentations chapter 3 where Jeremiah is coming from, you got to understand some history. Jeremiah was actually there when the temple of God was destroyed. You remember Solomon built this beautiful temple. Finally, they were going to have this structure that could house the very presence of God. And for 400 years, people came to the temple and they worshiped God there. But in 537 BC, the Babylonians came in and they destroyed the temple. And Jeremiah watched every single bit of it. He saw as some of his closest friends and his relatives were killed. The rest of them were carted off. They were exiled to another land. They were deported from the area. And now, as you can imagine, Jeremiah is incredibly depressed. And he's crying out in the presence of God. And what I want to do today is I want to take a look at Lamentations chapter 3. And I want to draw some parallels to you and I and how Jeremiah overcame this struggle that he had with depression as well. And I want to start in Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now, if you know nothing about depression, I think these words probably give a face to depression more than any other. If you struggle with depression, these words, you're going to say, in effect, that's exactly what I'm going through. Listen as Jeremiah writes, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. And then listen to this. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. If you've never experienced depression before, I think the words of Jeremiah encapsulate it well. If you struggle with depression, it sort of gives voice to what is going on in your soul, doesn't it? And I'm going to give you two thoughts with regards to depression today. Two things I want you to remember. The first of them is this: when you are battling depression, your emotions are valid, but they are not permanent. Your emotions are valid, but you got to remind yourself constantly, in the midst of down times, they are not permanent. Now, often in Christian circles, we say to ourselves, hey, listen, don't depend on your feelings, don't depend on your emotions, and certainly sometimes that's true. Especially with regards to our salvation, we say, listen, some days we feel saved, sometimes we don't. You got to take your feelings, you got to put them into your faith, you got to put your faith into the truth of God's word. Certainly that's true. But I think in Christian circles, we often stuff down our emotions, stuff down our feelings, don't we? Because we say, listen, that's not very Christ-like. I don't want to feel that, so what I'll do is I'll just sort of push it down. Today, I want to remind you that your emotions, your feelings are real. But when you know Christ is your Savior, they are never permanent because there is always hope in God. Now, I want you to see this because I think this is one of the things that you can do. Naming your emotions opens the door to changing your emotions. Experts had found when you and I actually give voice to our emotions, it gives us somehow the freedom to begin to change those emotions. So experts would say, whatever you're feeling, just voice. Maybe to a close friend. Maybe to yourself. I'm down today. I'm depressed, I'm struggling, I'm hurt, and I feel alone, I feel abandoned. I feel whatever you're feeling, just express it. I feel afraid. Now, speaking of fear for a moment, just raise your hands. How many of you are afraid of spiders? Anybody here afraid of spiders? Yeah, I am a little bit too. So they took a group of about 20 people. They brought them into a room, and they actually took a tarantula, and they put it in a cage, and they put people all around this table. And I want you to see what happened with regards to these people. Every single one of them was put into one of four groups. And they said to group number one, here's what I want you to do. I want you to express whatever you're feeling. I'm afraid. I'm terrified. What's ever going on inside of you, just express it. To this second group of people, they said, I want you to sort of express yourself, but I don't want to have any emotion behind it. So just express yourself like the tarantula is big, it's in a cage, whatever it might be, just say it. To the third group, they say, I want you to say something, but I want it to be irrelevant to the situation. Say it's Sunday, say it's raining outside, say anything irrelevant to the situation. To the last group, they said, here's what I want you to do. Whatever you're feeling, I want you to stuff it. I don't want you to express it in any way, shape, or form. So they went away, and a week later, they brought all four groups back together. Now they took the tarantula out of the cage and let it crawl on the table. And they monitored all of these people. They monitored their heart rate. They monitored how much their palms would sweat. They monitored who peed their pants, all of those kinds of things. They monitored every bit of it. And here's what they found. Those who were able to express their emotions did 3 times better than anybody else. Those who were able to express the emotions, the feelings that they had, the second time they experienced the tarantula, now some of them weren't frightened at all. Now some of them actually reached out and touched it, and they found that expressing their emotions gave them the ability to somehow change their emotions. People in Christian circles were always saying to each other, hey, listen, just stuff it down. You should not be feeling that. Don't express it. Don't acknowledge it. When actually the opposite is true. See, here's what I want you to hear me say today. It's just simply this. We're not going to make permanent decisions based on temporary emotions. We're not going to make any permanent decisions in our life based on the emotions of what we're going through right now. In other words, we're not going to say, all men are like this. All churches are like this. In the midst of depression, I'm not going to make decisions about my marriage. I'm not going to say I'm walking away from God forevermore. And I'm certainly not going to say it's very possible that God wants me to end my life. People, that's just simply never, ever true. You know, don't you, that you were formed and fashioned in your mother's womb? You know, don't you, that God has actually written your name on the very palms of his hand? You know, don't you, as the Apostle Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians, that he's created works in advance for you to do, that every single one of you has purpose in this world. So we are never going to make permanent decisions based on temporary emotions. Then here's the second point I want you to get, and I think this is critical as well. Your situation feels hopeless, but with God, there's always hope. I recognize if you're struggling with depression, it doesn't feel as though there's any hope out there, does there? Well, it just feels absolutely hopeless. As this Bill would say to me, it feels like darkness just follows me. There's sort of a numbness to all my feelings, to all my emotions. But this is when you've got to take your feelings, you've got to put them into your faith, and eventually you've got to plug them into the truth of God's word, that with God there is always hope, always. Whether you feel it or not, we know based on the truth of God's word that there is always hope in him. So what does Jeremiah say? Jeremiah, even though his soul is downcast, says this, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." In other words, even though my soul is downcast, here's what I'm going to call to mind. I'm going to call to mind the goodness and the character of my God, and when I do that, here's what I find. I begin to have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And then he makes this declaration, "Great is your faithfulness." Can we take a look at that scripture for a moment? It starts this way, "Because of the Lord's great love." The word there that is translated great love is the Hebrew word hesed. It's actually used 238 times in the Old Testament. Hebrew words, whenever you look at them, are full of meaning, chock full of meaning. Sometimes it takes a paragraph just to sort of give understanding to one of these Hebrew words. They are so incredibly meaningful. This is one of them. The word hesed is often translated the Lord's great love, but I think a better translation would be this, the unbreakable devotion to God's promise. Or the other definition, covenantal commitment to God's character. So Jeremiah is saying, listen, when I go through down times, when my soul is downcast, here's what I remember, here's what I recount that brings hope into my soul. The very character of God, the hesed of God, the loving kindness of God, the unbreakable devotion of God's promises, the covenantal commitment of God's character. I just sort of recall some of those things in my life. And when I'm feeling hopeless, it begins to raise hope in me. And then he talks about the compassions of the Lord are new every morning. The Hebrew word for compassions is the word rahamah. And literally, the opening part of the word rahamah literally means this idea of a mother's womb. Is there any place that is safer, more protected, more caring, more nurturing than the womb of a mom? So Jeremiah cries out, here's what I know about the compassions of the Lord. It's much like a mother's womb. It's caring, it's protecting, it's nurturing in my life. And when I begin to recognize that, it builds hope inside of me, even though my soul is downcast. People, one of the things that Jeremiah did, one of the things that you and I need to do, is we just need to express our emotions. Here's what's going on. I'm angry, I'm hurt, I'm disappointed, I'm down. And then after that, I would remind you that we also need to seek help. We said this before, but I want to remind you, seeking help is not a sign of weakness. Seeking help is a sign of wisdom. So when I'm going through difficult times in my life, depression that I can't seem to get out of, I'm going to go to a medical doctor. It's possible he's going to prescribe something for me. I'm going to go to a counselor and maybe talk things over with him. I'm going to take a look at my nutrition. I'm going to get out into the sunlight. I'm going to do whatever I can that God has ordained in my life to somehow bring hope into my life, and I'm certainly going to spend time in God's word. Now, here's what I believe with regards to Jeremiah. I think Jeremiah did the same thing we talked about last week with regards to anxiety. I think he began to pray. I think he paused. And I think he praised. But I want you to know, as he cries out to the Lord in prayer, I want you to see what his body posture is like. Now listen, there's nothing in the text that tells us about his body posture, but I can make sort of an inference, if you will, that all of the time when he's talking about his soul is downcast, he's going through difficulty, here's how he's feeling. Don't you sort of get the sense that his shoulders are down, that his head is down, that everything is down? When you're depressed, isn't it true you don't talk in some sort of confident voice? You talk a little bit more in a whisper, a little bit more lacking confidence. I think that's exactly what Jeremiah is going through. And I think Jeremiah is sort of down, and now as he begins to recount the goodness and the character of God, I can almost see him picking his head up, can't you? It's often how people in the Old Testament and the New Testament would pray. They would often pray with their heads up toward heaven and their hands held high as well. Now, you don't often see that from this Dutch guy, but isn't it true in worship we often raise our hands in devotion to God? Why is that? Well, raised hands is always the symbol of surrender, isn't it? I babysat my two grandsons this past week, and my wife bought them a Nerf gun. Guess who they wanted to shoot with a Nerf gun? Papa, right? And often I would say to them, with my hands in the air, I surrender, don't shoot. Guess what? They shot anyway. Probably a parenting issue, if you ask me. But literally, you're saying, listen, I surrender. When we come into the presence of God and we raise our hands in worship to him, we're saying, God, listen, I surrender. I'm down and struggling and I'm depressed. And what I want to do with my body language and my posture is I want to look up to you and I want to raise my hands and I want to say to you, listen, I give up. I surrender. But surrender is not the only thing that raised hands signals. Raised hands also signals victory, doesn't it? Ever been to a football game before and your team scores? Every single one of us raises their hands. There's a sense of victory. And I think that's what Jeremiah is doing as he lifts up his posture, as he raises his hands. He's saying, Lord, I surrender, but here's what I know. Because of your character and your goodness, I also recognize that I'm going to be victorious. And then here's the last thing that Jeremiah does, and I want you to see it. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24. Now Jeremiah says, I say to myself. Any of you here talk to yourself? It's actually a good thing. He's saying, listen, I got to preach to myself. My soul is rather downcast, so here's what I'm going to do, because there's nobody else around, because I isolated myself. I wanted to be alone. Now I'm going to preach to myself. And here's what he preaches. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. He preaches to himself. People, isn't it a good idea that every now and then you and I preach to ourselves about the goodness of God as well? There's a whole lot in this world that you and I can be depressed over, but every now and then, you and I, sort of making these new neural pathways that we talked about last week, have got to fix our eyes on something positive in life. We got to take a look at God's Word and sort of reframe our brain. It's one of the reasons I think memorizing Scripture is so critical. I think when you're down and you can say to yourself, the Lord is my refuge and my strength. He's an ever-present help in the time of need. Therefore, I will not fear. When you can say to yourself that God is near to the brokenhearted, he comes close to those who are crushed in spirit. When you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. People, at some points in times when your soul is downcast, you need to preach to yourself. You need to recount the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 that says, listen, nothing in this world is ever going to separate me from the love of God that is mine in Christ Jesus. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will somehow separate me from the love of God. You got to take your eyes off the problems of this world, and you got to put your eyes on God, and you got to preach the truth and the character of God to yourself. People, isn't it true that anxiety, as we started from the proverb, can actually bring depression to our soul? But sometimes, Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, says a good word pulls us out of it. Some of you might say that struggle with depression is still not enough, but maybe it is. Maybe for a minute, maybe for an hour, maybe for a day, maybe for a week, a good word from the Lord can actually lift your very soul. Now, here's what I found with regards to my friend that I started out with. His name was Bill. He eventually had depression taken from him. And what he decided to do was this. He was going to go see a doctor, and he prescribed some medication. It helped a little. Then he went and he saw a counselor, and he talked with him, and that helped a little bit too. He became a prayer warrior and studied and memorized the Word of God, and that helped a whole lot in his life. He got involved in a small group, and that helped a little bit, until this day he would say, listen, I don't struggle with depression anymore. Somehow God, through means that He has ordained, has taken me out of that pit and set me upon a rock.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, check out our Sunnybrook Unscripted podcast, where we talk real life, answer questions, and take a deeper practical look at the topics we talk about on a Sunday morning. For other talks, videos, and live gatherings, rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Download the Sunnybrook Church app or visit us at sunnybrookchurch.org. And again, thanks for listening to the Sunnybrook Community Church podcast.